What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode. I'm Bobby.
I'm China number one.
And I think I'm going to be a luchador this episode and this Halloween.
All right. It's awesome. Kind of confusing when you guys don't introduce yourself since we've got our new intro that doesn't say our names. So
you can fuck right off. I
think if we have any new listeners, they're going to be very confused.
Well, China number one, Chi. You know, same.
Close. Yeah.
It's pretty close. China number one on one end, or Chi. Yeah, pretty close.
I mean,
they both start with
Chi.
Yeah.
All right, but yeah, thank you, Frubs, for putting that together for us. It's our brand new intro. We had to get rid of the old one because we lost somebody. We don't like to talk about that, though.
Yeah. All right. So somebody, who was it? Oh, Flying Hawaiian, who you know, we're pretty friendly. He's like, hey, psst, psst, hey, over here in the corner on Discord. I was like, yeah. He's like, dude, tell me the truth of how the shit went down with Chad, because I want to know. And I was like, exactly what we said, dude. Like, we're not. There's no secret. We're just kind of like trying to make it funny by not talking about it.
Yeah, you got to find the buy the behind the scenes documentary, DLG.
Yeah. And
what really happened?
Yeah, exactly.
The true E Hollywood story.
Anyway, the cover story is actually the truth in this one.
Yep, it's not nearly as exciting as you think.
Yeah.
All right, so check out our Instagram. We're going to be having some pictures of that. Everyone's getting dressed up for Halloween weekend, and we'll be putting pictures up of those costumes.
Yeah, I've already posted one. As I'm sitting here recording this podcast, I am already in my Halloween costume. I dressed up as a PUBG player, which qualifies my China number one intro there. And if you haven't followed our Instagram yet, it's digital_logic with a K. And everyone who's been posting Halloween pictures of themselves on our Discord, I'm going to highlight one of your costumes and post it on Halloween as well. So thank you for participating in Discord and being active on both Instagram and in our community.
Bobby, are you doing the costume thing this year?
No.
I don't know
what I'm doing this year.
What percentage of Halloweens as an adult have you dressed up in?
A lot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I usually do. It's just I don't really go out and party. It's on a school night, you know.
I don't get the non-costume people, man. So there's always those non-costume people. And, every party, they just don't come. It bothered me. If you're one of those people...
If I were going to a party, then absolutely. Yeah. I mentioned
Bobby, did you dress up for Halloween when you came out and...
I wore my Pirate Bay shirt, which is like a cassette player with the crossbones underneath. Looks like a skull and crossbones. So that was about as dressed up as I got.
I remember that.
I used to just steal my dad's postal uniform with the really short shorts and wear that to Halloween parties. That was always a hit.
Yeah.
I had a buddy who borrowed his brother's real firefighter outfit. Like, he's a firefighter, right?
Yeah.
And so girls thought that he was are you really a firefighter? This is just my gear. And he did pretty well with the ladies.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Love the uniform.
I need to be rescued.
Right.
All right. So, yeah, check that out on our Instagram. And also, big news, we've got two copies of Destiny 2 to give away. We're going to be doing that through iTunes. So.
That's going to happen soon, guys, because I want you to play this game while it's still hot. So, brand new Destiny 2 copies. As always, the way that our iTunes giveaways happen is if you sign up, you are forever. It's like an infinite raffle ticket. It will always enter you forever. So leave us a review. Leave your Steam name in there or your Discord name in there so we know who you are. Be honest. We're not asking for 5-star reviews. But, again, you'd be the first dick not to give us a 5-star review. And so, yeah. And then you're entered forever for perpetuity, I think it's called.
And if you don't have an iTunes account.
Make one and then just do it and
yeah, a rock toss away, you'll find someone with an iPhone. And
that's true, too.
Just invade their phone. I did it. I actually won a giveaway through my boyfriend's iTunes iTunes profile. But then I was like, oh, okay, I can't win our giveaway. So we ended up giving the giveaway to someone else.
Yeah, it was a poor Swedish gentleman that's getting our things right now. Getting our links on Discord. Speaking of Discord, go to dlgaming.net there is a link there that it will go right to Discord. If you've never used it before, it's literally that easy. You click on the link and it will take you to a web page, right? Probably the first time.
Yeah, it'll try to open it up in the browser. If you have Discord installed, which you should at this point, then it will ask if you want to open it up with the Discord program.
Yeah, but if you don't have it, definitely get the client. It doesn't take up that much memory, either in usage or storage. So it's just a great, great program.
Yep, good times. All right, let's talk about some video games.
Yay, video games.
So on the radar, games that are coming up, games that we got our eye on. The first one I want to bring up is called A Medieval, and this one looks like it is inspired by the old Hexen and Heretic games. It is, I don't think there's a Steam page for it, so I'm just going to bring up this article on PC Gamer. Medieval, a retro first-person shooter inspired by Heretic and Hexen. So Heretic and Hexen, they used like the Doom engine, and they had it was just like that, but in a fantasy world. It was actually by Raven Software, who went on to do a ton of shit.
So like a bow and arrow, or like a sorcerer?
A lot of magic shit. Okay. Yeah. Let me play some of the footage here for you. So I was kind of intrigued by that. What was that roguelike, the first person shooter that I was kind of all about for a little while? What
I cannot think of it.
Yeah, kind of reminds me of that. But this has got a very old look to it. But I don't know. It could be great.
I will rub it in your face again that I beat that game, like in the first couple hours that I played it.
Well, you played it on like normal difficulty. I beat it like 3 times on normal difficulty. You got to play that.
I beat it on hard.
But it was one of those ones where you play it on normal and then you unlock stuff and it makes it easier. So you kind of have to start low. Even looking at the footage, it almost reminds me a little bit of Painkiller too, which is a game I enjoy from the past. So I don't know. I'm excited about that game. I guess that'll be my game. I'll mention the other one later. What game you guys got?
Go ahead, G.
Well, we've got a lot of party games lining up because Halloween is about the parties. Mm. Yeah, this one here. The game I'm going to recommend, it's an early access game, and it was originally released May 31st, 2017. It's called Witch It, Witch with spelled W-I-T-C-H. Yeah, exactly. Anyways, Witch It is a four-player multiplayer game where you either play as a witch or the witch hunter. The witch hunter looks like a giant fat farmer / butcher, and he's chasing you with a pitchfork, and he just doesn't look nice at all. Anyways, so as a witch, your purpose is to run around, whether it's a village or cemetery, and to hide yourself within the environment by turning into a prop. So when you turn yourself into a prop, there's different ways that you can blend in and try to hide from
like a box or a pumpkin or something like that,
yeah,
right?
Or a lantern, and it's really neat. You could even still like move around and look around as a prop.
Hey Bobby, it's kind of like Prey, but you're the you're the monsters.
Yeah, and it's really adorable. It's got a cartoony look. It's been out for a while, so there are quite a few patches. Right now they have a Halloween patch, which will really get you into the season. So if you have friends that you want to play some Halloween games with, and it's not quite that horror element, it's fun, it's whimsical, and very lighthearted, and I would recommend it. So
cool. That is cool.
And that is going for $9.89 right now.
This is usually
part of the Halloween sale.
I would usually say like, hey guys, let's play that tonight, but I don't have fucking internet because I just moved. And so I just bought a new modem, but I haven't had the time to set it up. But yeah, I want to go home and play this with you guys right now.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it looks like fun. I mean, it's only multiplayer, which
means everyone has to own a game.
Well, you can have online multiplayer, so you could play with other people.
How do they not have a
300 people playing right now? Yeah, that seems obvious.
Yeah.
Buy a 4-pack on that. But yeah, it's like a lot of those, you know, Dead by Daylight, Friday the 13th games, except they aren't like serious horror. So I could see something like this being fun.
And what's fun is that it's not just one hunter. It's hide and seek, obviously, but not just with one hunter. There's multiple hunters. So it's teamwork, cooperative.
Weird. And asymmetrical PvP, I think is what it's called.
So
that is cool.
Fun.
I
would love to play this.
I got lazy. I have had no time, but I have been looking at Assassin's Creed Origins. Bobby is famous for saying that, you know, you play one and then you wait 2-3 years. It's time for me to play an Assassin's Creed, and this one looks amazing. Every few years, it seems like there'll be no giant leaps in graphics, and then 1 year will come by, and then all, like, they figured something out. And, you know, Star Wars is on that level. This is on that level. There's a couple other games. Oh, Bobby, by the way, detracting really quick. The Shadow of War height texture packs, you can just download them straight from Steam now.
Oh, cool. They are working.
Yeah, it works now.
And the 4K cinematic.
Yeah, 4K cinematic and high-res texture pack.
I deleted that, so I would have to download those 70 gigs again.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, you're not going to do it, though.
Cox Cable's getting stingy with the internet lately.
Yeah, so about that, I guess we could put it in news or something, but let's get into it, because I just bought my internet plan. At 1 terabyte, Cox starts to throttle your internet. Do we know how much, Bobby?
I didn't know that they throttled. They have overage charges.
Oh, it's overage charges. Mm-hmm. That's right. And you're paying like...
So you can pay $50 extra a month just to get unlimited whatever you want. Or you pay... I can't remember the amount.
I think it's like $20 for 500 gigabytes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it's like $10 or $20 for 500 gigs. So yeah.
What do you think about that?
I'm not a fan. That just pretty much means I'm paying an extra $50 a month. Yeah.
And you said you actually got 700 gigs, right? I mean, you used 70% of your terabyte?
No, I use like... I use between 2 and 3, 4 terabytes a month, apparently.
Oh, what?
Yeah. I'm way the fuck over, dude.
How's that possible, though? What are you doing?
I don't know.
Streaming. I know that.
Streaming, watching stuff, downloading games. Think about it. Shadow of War takes up 70 gigs. That is 7%
of your terabyte.
Yeah. Right there, just downloading that game. So, I mean, that shit adds up really quick.
Damn.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's not going to work for me. So I'm going to eventually... They do have, like, a 2-month grace period where they're going to let you get overage charges and not charge you. So eventually...
You know.
They do have, like, I could get gigabit. I could upgrade to that, but I don't...
Does it matter?
I'm just going to go over it faster.
Yeah. And
it's really... It's a lot faster download, but it's very... It's, like, the difference between 30 megabits per second upload versus 35. So it doesn't even help your upload that much.
Mm.
But yeah, eventually I'm going to need to do something. It's just right now switching to gigabit is like
$120 a month.
It's $120 a month plus the 50 for the unlimited data package. And then also it would be like $400 for the modem/router. And then I noticed a sign in my building today, they're installing AT&T fiber in the next couple of weeks.
Oh, that'll be really nice.
I don't know if that's going to mean we're going to have access to that. But AT&T, I don't know if they're like...
And in that case, Bobby, when you're talking about a $400 router or whatever, or $400, I think it's better to lease it from Cox. They're the one that they just give you for like...
I don't think they lease the modem/router. They would lease you the modem, then you have to buy your own router.
Why do you... Is it super important for you to have it in one unit as opposed to two?
I don't have a whole lot of room, as you can see. Like, my modem/router is down by my computer.
Yeah.
So it would be nicer if that were the case, but I don't know. I'm not in any rush. The download speeds I have right now are just fine, and there's no reason for me to upgrade.
Yeah.
I am not as picky when it comes to download speeds.
It's all about up for you.
Because here in San Diego, our download speeds are ridiculous compared to most other places in the country. I talked to my brothers who live in the Midwest, and they're capped around 60 gigs. 90 gigs by their provider. And then here we have over 200 almost as a default. And for me, upload is my most important thing because, once upon a time, I was a streamer and I needed really good upload. And unfortunately, I have Time Warner in San Diego and I've had issue after issue after issue with them. Cable companies never have a good rep, and for good reason. They're not consistent, yet we pay buku bucks for the services that they fail safe to provide, really. They claim and then I get... and then when I dispute that I'm not getting the up and down that I pay for, they're like, "Oh, well, we don't know why," and it's just a hassle.
I do have to say that I have been dealing with Cox quite a bit over the last few days. Oh, Cox is our local. It's not like I'm getting cum in the eye. Like Cox is COX. I'm not dealing with armies of Cox.
When I worked tech support, people would always like give me their email address. You always got to ask for it at the beginning of the call. And they would always say, you know, blah, blah, blah at Cox.net. And then they'd spell it out for me, COX.net. Like I assumed it was just like cock.
Yeah. I always think it's funny when people have
Cox,
those.
COX could be a plural form of Cox, like instead of the COCKS.
I've
maybe
seen it
Cox
written like that.
With an X is like eight dicks or more. Then it's Cox, yeah. COX.
I agree. That's a thing now, from now on. anyway, this game looks beautiful. They've been at this for over a decade. They know how to make a video game.
This is Origins. You know what's funny? I didn't realize this game came out. I was just like, I saw Assassin's Creed Origins, and like, I didn't realize it came out either.
Yeah. I thought he was talking about this like it was a new release game.
So it says awesome. Mostly positive, Bobby. Well, mm-hmm. What is the percentage there?
Let me hover over that.
77. Yeah, that's pretty good. I mean, it's no 82 from Shadow
War. I mean, it's
War.
The Steam reviews. Don't.
Yeah, I know.
It's
don't
impressive.
Give it too much credit.
I think it's impressive that Assassin's Creed has been able to survive as long as it has, the longevity of this title. Of course, they keep producing great game after great game, but it's the amount of games that are coming out almost match the amount of Zelda games coming out. And it's not a first-person shooter. It's not Call of Duty. It's not Battlefield, where they heavily rely on their multiplayer base to be able to push their franchise. It's impressive that Assassin's Creed, mostly a single-player experience, to this day, can continually, year after year, come out with a title.
Yeah,
not a
sure.
lot of games can do that, especially around a single-player market. And Assassin's Creed originated as a video game versus Star Wars being a movie franchise.
That makes
before,
a game every five
or,
years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's a really good point. It's like probably the after Call of Duty, because that's multiplayer, the one single player game that comes out every year is probably Assassin's Creed, right?
They skipped a year. They took a year off.
Okay, 1 year.
I think they needed to.
Sorry that I wasn't exactly right.
Well, I remember it was like a big deal when they did.
Oh.
Like they said they were taking a break from it. But I mean, still, there's so many of those.
Anyway,
I mean,
the setting is really nice. Plus, this game has that explorer mode, that which kind of plays like a documentary. You just ride around with no bosses or missions. And it just, you know, tells you information about the stuff that you're seeing, which is pretty sweet.
It's pretty cool. Not my scene, but that's cool.
And I like, it's a great setting. I mean, ancient Egypt, it's fantastic. So. Mm-hmm. But I am, I got so much shit to do. I need to unpack. I've got God of War. I really want to play, but, you know.
The new God of War is out?
I mean Shadow of War.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm like, what? That's out already? All right. That's cool, though.
And you think if there's a sequel to Shadow of War, they're going to call it Shadow of More War? Yep. Thank you.
Boo.
I think my bladder giggled harder than like my actual lungs did. I have to pee now. Thank you, Bobby, for that
welcome.
One.
All right.
I thought I heard something.
So Assassin's Creed Origins. So you haven't started playing this game yet, but you're gonna pick it up. Oh, this is we haven't even decided which game won here. I guess we'll have to wait till Chi comes back.
Yeah, well,
one
talk
more
about
game.
That.
One more game I want to throw in there is the Jackbox Party Pack 4 is coming out. So I don't know if this is something you want to pick up right away, but at some point I'll probably grab it. It's got games like, what are they putting these? Fibbage is usually one. What are they on? Fibbage 3. What else does it include?
Are these worth playing, Bobby? Every time
these are good party games.
Every time I see these pop up, I'm like, who buys this shit? Is it you?
Now, a lot of people do. I was talking to someone about this the other day, party games, like what are good party games? And like, there's a few that I have, but for me, nothing will ever top Mario Party. That was always the pinnacle of party games.
Yeah, it's pretty good. The drinking one that we were playing, the one that had, shit. It's a party game that Chad and I played.
Yeah, what was that?
Drinking was included into the game. Fuck, I don't remember the name of it, but it's really good.
Yeah, we had a whole lineup of games that we would always play because there were quite a few times when we had multiple people over at Chad's place and we would have to pull out some good games. You know, those ones that had the really short, action-packed games like Duck Game, those kind of things.
What is Fibbage, Bobby?
Fibbage. That's the one where you have to make up a lie and you try to guess which one who's
lying.
Yeah, who's lying.
Gotcha.
Some of these I don't recognize. Monster Seeking Monster, a spooky date-a-thon game. I don't know. But some of these are good. And what I've noticed is like they kind of become antiquated after a certain period of time.
What are the reviews like? Is it out?
Yeah, I believe it is. See, $24.99. Not. Cool. I don't know if it's worth that. Yeah, positive, but 39 reviews. Not a lot of people are playing these.
Chi, we got to pick who wins this. By the way, Chi, I don't think you've ever won. Just saying.
Have I not?
No, I think
no one wanted to do Ready, Set, Parent with me.
No. No,
it's okay.
No,
well,
one did.
For this one here,
I'm going to have to go with my own.
Assassin's Creed?
Yeah.
What was Jackbox?
Oh, no, you know what?
Just talked about it, but what
I'll go
was
with
Jackbox?
Widget because I have time for Widget and it looked cute and fun.
Yay! Am
Wait,
I
that
winning?
Doesn't mean you win.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
No,
I think it's about time.
No.
I look like a PUBG character. No. I think it's time to be a winner, winner.
Another...
I'm going to self-vote and choose Widget.
Nope.
So, Bobby.
Bobby, what do you
drum
think?
Drum roll.
I'm going to stick with Amid Evil.
Damn, you don't give a fuck about
Chi's feelings
at all.
2 out of 3. I'm a winner, winner, chicken dinner,
guys. Oh, why are you sticking with your own?
Yeah.
Oh, you do win then.
Well, like, that's such a big surprise.
So, congratulations.
Yay.
So, who was it? Sea Viper, maybe? He was like, I was like, what are you doing, man? And he's like, oh, just playing some PUBG. I was like, oh, that's cool, man. Chasing that chicken, huh? And he's like, what are you talking about? And I was like, the chicken dinner, man. What everybody, you know, the reason you play. He goes, I don't know what that is.
Who was this?
Sea Viper, I think.
I think
it was his
Sniper.
First. Sniper. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Sea Sniper.
Oh.
I think it was him. I'm not sure. And then he's like.
It's like, Sniper, do you know what the taste of glory is? I mean, do you know what glory tastes like?
I guess he had
like?
Only been playing a week, so he hadn't had that first chicken dinner yet. So, how could you not even know what it is? Even if you don't play, you know what the winner, winner chicken dinner means, right?
Mm-hmm.
God, my dick just got hard. I love it.
Exactly. It's been a while since I've played PUBG. I should get back in that scene. I finally unlatched my computer from the TV. I'm back at my desk, guys. And I've been playing some hardcore Destiny 2 since doing that. So should we open the door for Destiny 2 or Wolfenstein 2 first?
No, let's talk about Destiny 2 first.
Destiny 2. I am super excited, guys, that I jumped on board with this game. Who else is playing it with me? Anyone yet?
No, not yet.
A lot of people are playing it. Like half my friends list on Battle.net is people playing Destiny.
Yep. So I loaded up Destiny 2. I started playing it the day after release and I played it all day long. In one day, I managed to beat the campaign, hit end game cap. It's not that hard to hit the highest level and to get through the campaign. And
not that hard being like how long?
Maybe I was on for 8-9 hours and did that. I've known people to do it in 6 hours, but for my first playthrough of Destiny 2 ever, I think that's pretty good of a run.
Yeah.
Only because I have a pretty diehard friends team. That are pretty diehard, and then not only so they've been helpful, but I've been having a hard time kind of grasping the differences between Destiny 2 and most other MMOs. So Destiny 2, my first impressions are. Visually, this game is amazing. The environment alone is overwhelming for me. You find yourself in a scenario of moving across the world. It's not open world, but you are thrown into these planets that have a lot to traverse through. The thing is, there's a lot of trash mobs that aren't really worth killing. And for me, that's a little monotonous, being that being an original MMO
grindy.
Player starting, not it will get to that part, but that doesn't really hit until the very end. When you are leveling through Destiny 2, you're going through the main story and you're picking up these missions. And then as you go through the missions, of course, you can virtually run through the entire, I would call them dungeons, but they're not. And virtually ignore all the trash mobs except for certain scenarios.
Oh, you can do that.
Yes.
Oh, that's
and
awesome.
And then once you hit the boss and complete the dungeon, you'll be able to move on, get the loot and everything else.
So were you being power run through it?
Yes and no.
They knew how to get through it.
Yeah, because the thing about Destiny 2 and what I do like about it is that anybody at any level can do what you're doing, and it's still relative for them. So they can play with you, but then they'll be capped at a certain... So if you're doing a public event, if you guys have ever played Warhammer Online or Rift, public events are these... Basically, they're just like open world dungeons, not dungeons, events, which will lock you in where you'll fight a series of enemies, accomplish whatever task that is necessary, like destroy, like just standing in a certain area to mine up points, and you'll attack waves of enemies mm-hmm. until the boss comes out, and then you'll kill the boss if you make the event heroic.
Like a reverse dungeon where they come to you.
Kind of, yeah, exactly.
Wave survival,
exactly. And public events are so important. And here's the thing about Destiny. I've never played the first Destiny, but I started with Destiny 2. And I'm used to traditional MMOs where you'll go into instances, you'll go with a group of five, everyone has their kind of lock class, and you have to actually kill every wave of enemy virtually in order to make it to the boss and then acquire your loot.
Is there a healing? Do you have to have a healer?
No, you do not. This one here, it's really, really run and gun.
Yeah,
for everybody. It is extremely run and gun for virtually everybody.
So do you need a mix? Can you go in with four of the same class and be just as good as...
Yeah, absolutely. You could all be the same class and still accomplish just as much. Outside of that, you do get subclasses per character, and throughout the game, as you level up, you will unlock other subclasses. I'm playing a warlock as I did in the beta.
Okay.
And I'm enjoying it, but the thing about this game is that you actually benefit from re-rolling and creating more characters.
Why would you re-roll? How do you benefit?
This is the thing that confuses me so much. And trust me, guys, I'm still getting my grasp on Destiny 2. My first impression of the game was just rushing through the campaign because it's grinding. It's getting to end game. Most of it is irrelevant. I was actually skipping through a lot of cutscenes, except for the major ones.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure I watched the first cutscene and the last cutscene, and that was about it. But I mean, the gist of the story, it's not as enthralling when it comes to this story.
Right.
For me. But the one thing that made the story extremely appealing for me is knowing that Nathan Fillion and Gina, I forgot her last name, but two actors from Firefly are major voice roles in this game.
It's exactly
Ikora
and those people too.
Yeah, Ikora and Cade Six are actors from Firefly, and then also Gina Torres, thank you.
I'm surprised Chad never talked to Firefly because he's a huge fan.
Yeah, Chad, remember how I said Chad reminds me of the pilot from Firefly? And you told me that would be the biggest compliment to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now he's gonna hear all this. Fuck you, Chad. Yeah, she just built you
Does
up.
Does he even still listen to our podcast?
He texted me, "Hey, good podcast last week."
Oh, how sweet.
I was like, it was garbage, dude.
It's like, hey, congratulations on being engaged. Woo!
Oh,
what does that feel like?
I guess we're breaking it here.
We don't know what that... None of us knows what it feels like. Anyways.
Wow, somebody's bitter.
retract from that
tangent.
What's
winning feel like? I've never won before.
Engagement, not winning. Winning I do all the time. But to retract from that tangent, so Destiny 2... Getting through the campaign was the easy part. It just felt like any other console single player.
Sure.
First person shooter campaign. It felt like Halo.
Okay.
And
was it enjoyable?
It was enjoyable. Yeah, I had fun. But then
did you feel like, well, let me get through this so I can get to the multiplayer? Or were you like, I'm having a good time while I get to the multiplayer?
Well, no. Multiplayer is on almost all the time outside the tutorial.
Oh,
so
okay.
Anybody can actually join your strike team and participate in your main story quest, and they'll be able to see what quest objectives you need to go through. And so grinding, it's not really like MMOs where they'll hop in and they'll help you kill certain things. They can actually join your party and help you through the campaign.
I wish
from beginning to end.
I don't have a strike team.
It's called Friends.
Oh.
Well, anyways, the outside of completing this main storyline, which was good, and I'm sorry that I skipped through most of the story, guys, but For me, lore isn't that important when it comes to MMOs.
What's the shooting feel?
It's actually really good. Yeah. I would say combat is very fluid. The enemies get a little bit tedious, but they are challenging, but not as challenging as the first Destiny.
How do you know that?
A lot of people who, yes, a lot of people who played Destiny on console, which was your only way to play Destiny, and then converted over to PC, come Destiny 2, their impression, from what I understand, their impression of the game is, holy shit, this is a million times easier. This is a cakewalk compared to what I had to deal with on the in the console world.
I don't know. I think MMOs have a kind of a history of getting easier as they get older.
Yeah.
So they could include more people.
I know this is sad. This actually hurts me a little bit saying this, but this is a great game for casual MMO gamers, and I am probably a casual gamer now. I am I am, indubitably. I am a casual gamer.
I think we all are. Yeah. We just don't have time. We're old.
Dude, are they for real with these sirens right now? Like, what the fuck, dude?
Yeah, I know. Well, anyways.
People.
Outside of the president being escorted outside of our door. No, just kidding. So once you hit endgame, that's where the grinding starts.
Okay.
The grind is real. So when you finish the game, you feel as scrubby as ever. Like, your loot is not good. You're weak. Your power level is like half of what people in their max power level
level is just the start of the
max
game.
Max level right now, I think, is 305.
Yeah,
and then as the expansions come out and raids come out, it's going to increase.
Saying, like, you getting through the campaign is just the beginning of the game.
Yes, right? Absolutely.
Right.
As I mentioned, it only took me one day to get through the campaign. So when you get through the campaign, you're finishing your milestones, and I've learned a lot of lessons the hard way. Apparently, this is the game that when you get rewarded something from completing a quest, you don't want to pick up your reward, because
why?
The way you level is strictly through your gear.
Okay.
So you have a base level, an experience level.
Okay.
But what really helps push you into end game and power leveling is your power level, aka previously known as a light level. So the power level is the overall average of all of the gear
equipment do you have
of the gear that you have.
Okay.
So I am constantly, it feels like Borderlands in this case, replacing my gear, as long as the number, not necessarily the type. And this is one thing I don't like about it.
Yeah, I wouldn't like that either.
I love using a hand cannon. Love using maybe a scout rifle.
Yeah.
But in this game, if the number beats out the type, you have to go with the higher number. Well, no, because
no, you don't want to have fun.
Well, you have to use the higher number loot, because the loot that you obtain through public events, through anything, it's based off of your existing light level.
So you can't upgrade unless you have... I see. It's based on, like, what you have.
It's based on
you have. You won't get shittier stuff than what you got?
No, you won't get shittier stuff, but you won't get significantly better stuff until you grind through that
Has it happened where, you were playing something different because of this, and you're like, ooh, I actually like this, after using it for a while?
Well, in the beginning...
Like, it's not a hand cannon, but...
In the beginning, I kind of like to wear the stuff that either looked good on my character, or what if it was a hand cannon or a scout rifle, and then I realized, oh, shit, you're right, I'm not getting better equipment.
Right.
So I learned, like I said, I learned the hard way.
That's interesting.
And earlier I was mentioning you do benefit from re-rolling.
Yeah.
The reason why is because when you re-roll a character, you're able to transfer some of your exotics, I believe, that's the name of the gear, to that second character. And then it kind of buffs and power levels the second character earlier in the game. So you're able to get higher level loot through accomplishing these milestone quests. And then that is how you actually progress through the game. And this is all before raiding. If you didn't know, Destiny 2 has yet to launch its raids. The raids will come out, I believe, in a week.
Yeah.
And
so how many people are in raids? So you're talking about just running like 5-man dungeons.
Yeah, what are you running right now?
Right now we're only talking about 4-man strict teams.
Okay. And then what are the raids going to be?
The raids, I don't know. I don't know yet, because raids aren't released on Destiny 2.
I think a raid now these days is 10 people. I think that's the common.
At least, yeah.
Probably.
That's weird to me that through, like, in 9 hours of play, you've already reached endgame content. That, I mean, I'm only comparing this to World of Warcraft.
This is not WoW, and I learned that. Like, as so you play it, you'll learn that.
Yeah. Well, I think that's probably better because that's really the part that everybody wants to do. But the whole numbers thing, that was a big change for me in World of Warcraft when I started playing. What was the last expansion? Warlords, right? Maybe? Sure.
Not sure.
By the time I had gone back and started playing Warlords, there's like a numerical value assigned to each piece of armor that you get, and that tells you if it's better or not. And back in the day, you had to determine, is this better for my character or not? It's got this many intellect points, but it's got this less armor. But,
crit chance,
you know, I'm not going to be getting hit. I'm going to be in the back healing, so this is probably better. Like, you had to figure it out. You had to do some work on your own to figure it out. And now they're just like, hey, higher number, this one's better. There you go, equip it.
Yes, in most cases. But sometimes you're getting synergy with other pieces of equipment and stuff like that. That has to be taken into account, right? Plus, and what she's talking about, what about your play style? If you're a shotgun guy and that's how you play and that's the only way you're good.
Oh, man, I am learning the hard way. As I mentioned, I am actually playing with people who are higher power levels than me. And I find myself doing higher power level things. And even though I'm a warlock, which is kind of somebody who you could play however you like. You could be in your face or you could be behind the scenes. But my survivability has been a little bit hard because titans are more in your face. They have more survivability. Whereas with warlocks, we're meant to be the mages. We're meant to be kind of in the back, either healing or buffing. Mm-hmm. Whereas with me, I just like running up to things and meleeing them. And then when you die, there's very little penalty. When you die, it's a 3-second respawn or maybe a 30-second respawn, depending on respawn zoning. And that's not, and I could die 15 times over in a fight, and not that I am, but
and not really hurt your team
not,
that much.
I'm not being penalized with experience, with decrease.
I'm not
drop.
A fan of this.
Like, there's, it's yeah, that not very punishing.
That doesn't appeal to me. Like, does that appeal?
Works. Maybe if
does
you
it work,
play
Chi?
It, it works, but from the sound
does of it, does it work, Chi?
It's very grindy in that sense because since you.
Like, you're going to get it done no matter what you do.
It feels like Halo turned into an MMO, but not quite an MMO. Everything that you know and have learned and experienced and translates as an MMO, it's very bare minimum. I struggle too. I am enjoying this game. Don't get me wrong. The fun factor exists. I enjoy playing with my friends again. I enjoy shooting the fuck out of everything. And I enjoy the fact that I can see my character progressively becoming stronger and better. Yeah. And I'm excited for raids. But when it comes to a lot of the die hard MMO elements, it doesn't exist in Destiny 2. Yeah. Destiny 2 is very forgiving to the gamer. It's almost, it is definitely the console
it's,
to level.
To me, this sounds
it's,
like
it's
Diablo,
a port. It sounds like a console port,
shooter.
Even though it's not. It feels like a console port, even though it's not.
What do you think about Bobby's comment?
What did you say?
Well, I don't know how much Diablo.
It feels like Diablo, like, but in
it sounds
a
like Diablo,
person,
but a first person shooter.
Or you're just like grinding for gear endlessly.
Kind of in a way. But you're, I mean, all of your abilities can practically minimize to controller buttons, so there's no need for any interface or UI. In fact, their UI has been the most frustrating of all elements for me. Well, it's not the actual thing. It's the cohesion of being able to just join a group, disband a group.
Doesn't work that good. That well,
fast travel to some place. Or you know, just it's just very. I mean,
the
it's different. It's very different from MMOs. Mm. It's easier in MMOs, and then with Destiny 2, the way you maneuver through the menu feels like you're maneuvering through a console game. And with a keyboard and mouse, it's not very It's not very fluid.
Mm.
It's not fluid at all. You have to take extra steps in order
overall,
to just leave a team. Or join a team, I feel like.
So you said a lot of words, but like at the end of the day, like we don't usually give numbers, but like where would you put that? Because I don't know if you like this game or how much you like it. Like from a 1 to 10?
1 to 10, I would give it a 7 out of 10.
7 out of 10?
7 out of 10. I'm enjoying it. I'm having fun with it. Yeah. I will continue to play it.
That's
I will
more fun because you
explore
have
it.
You got homies playing it too, right?
Yeah, I have that too.
Which always
and
helps.
Which always helps. And then not only that, but then...
Can you recommend for $60? I know it's arbitrary, but...
Ooh,
you know.
If you have friends, yes. If you don't have friends...
I mean, for 60 bucks, you're getting a lot of content. I mean,
you
this
are.
This is going to be a and game that people have been playing for a long time.
I am impressed by... graphically, environmentally, the amount of work that was put into
the product they put out. Yeah,
the product they put out. But here's the thing. I find myself just running through all of it. There is, I know in MMOs, there's a lot of running. There's a lot of time invested into moving across the world because that's what it's supposed to feel like. It's supposed to feel open world. But here, I find it very pointless. I find going, I was like, oh my God, this, like, I want to time out, take a screenshot. This looks amazing. But why am I spending all this time just getting from point A to point B?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's, I mean, that is a very MMO, but for FPS MMO, I wish they would have opened up more different types of events and, or different elements of combat or enemies and et cetera, versus just making the
world
they're
gonna get you on the DLC.
Beautiful and elaborate. Yeah.
They're going to get you on the DLC. For
probably.
All that stuff, yeah.
It does make you feel like you want more.
Yeah.
It's because I feel like maybe we're being skimmed.
Yeah.
Also in the same, in terms of actual gameplay content versus the world itself, I feel like they put too much emphasis in constructing the world versus elaborating upon what it feels like to exist in the world.
Mm.
I'm not sure if other people feel the same way I do, but
yeah. You would have rather more gameplay content than world.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then just because right now I'm at that point where, so my current light level is 238, 234, around there, 230 something. And then right now a good power level to be at the first week of Destiny is around 265, 270.
So competitive, geez.
And the max is 305, but the grind fest is intense.
Here's my problem with
you're not
everything
doing it right
that
the
you've
first
said
time.
So far. For something to be grindy is fine, but to be grindy and easy, that is not okay. That means I'm just a bot and I'm just mining.
You know what?
You
that's
know what I mean?
Really good that you're able to pick that up from what I was describing about Destiny 2 because that summarizes the point of which I'm at right now.
Yeah, I said in 10 words.
Mm-hmm. There you go. There you go.
Yeah, well, that's why I thought I was thinking Diablo the whole time you're talking about this, because in Diablo 3, by the way, the combat is just you clicking on a button, sometimes even just holding it down and breathing through your mouth. That's pretty much all the combat. And then the fun part of the game is swapping out different parts of gear, is changing your spells to find different combinations. Like, that's the fun part of Diablo. The actual combat, nobody gives a shit.
Well, I mean, my Diablo experience is very limited. But when they started throwing those random, epic characters at you, bad guys, and they had three random abilities, mm-hmm. and sometimes they'd have combinations where
you
I'm like,
click harder.
I am fucked. Like, I can't
you
even
gotta click harder.
Click harder and click faster.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I've never been challenged by Diablo since the first game.
I didn't spend a lot of time with Diablo 2, so I think I missed out on a lot of the nostalgia that people have for that. And Diablo 3... I just never really got into that much.
I think...
But I'm not a fan of
Diablo. Basically, what you're saying about Diablo, that's exactly how I'd play Destiny. And that's how I'm going to play. I'm going to play through the 9-hour campaign and then realize that the grind fest is just a grind fest just to keep you around. And...
Well, can you,
you have to join
can
my clan.
The campaign?
But hey, you guys, you have to join my clan.
Yeah,
please.
Let's do it, Bobby.
By the way, if you guys want to join my Destiny 2 clan, and I'm offering this out for any listener and or you guys especially, I am in a clan that my brother started, and we're called the Mochi Knights. I know it's super weeb.
No.
But it's a community that I love because, well, they're my brothers. So if you want to join in and have some fun, be a part of my clan, just let me know. Send me a whisper. I'm a smoochie hashtag 1659.
I really thought it was going to be ching chang chow chow che. I know that's terrible.
No, honestly, that's very close to my full name.
I know. That's why I said it.
I know. Ching chang chan tai chow. Yeah. Okay, that was my full name. You guys didn't hear that, but whatever. That was me. That was my full name. Like, I'm not even joking.
And and me being and me being as racist as possible.
I am so generic.
That's all Jen has to say. The chi emoji. The chimoji.
I just said my first name in one breath. My full name in one breath, guys. That's how Asian I am.
Bobby, what's up with Wolfenstein 2?
You're calling my name racist? It's not racist. I'm not. You're. Someone just called my name racist.
Okay. I mean, should I say my full name? It's racist as fuck, too. If she's a, you ready for this?
Stop.
I got two stars. Okay, here's my Emilio Diego. No, it's Lauro Emilio Marquez Infante Calderon Martinez.
Oh,
now,
man.
Now, that being said, let me tell you this.
We can have a conversation with
both of our
full first
names. I come back from Mexico quite a bit. Like, I go to Mexico because Sam has family that lives in TJ. And when we cross back, like, I'm far more comfortable speaking in English. Far more. Like, I get nervous speaking Spanish for long expense because I'm going to make errors, a lot more errors than I do in English. And so every time I hand my passport over to these border cross agents, they see my name, which is Lauro Emilio Marquez, and they go, they will not speak to me in English. And it's like I hand over my passport, and I'm like, they're like, ¿por qué estás en Tijuana? And I'm like, oh, I was just hanging out with my girlfriend's family, and you know, we had dinner and stuff. ¿Y estás trayendo cosas de México? No, like, you know, we just drove over here. I got some gas, maybe, and then we're on our way back. ¿Y por qué es tu razón? I was like, God damn, dude. Like, I know.
Oh, man.
I know the name, but anyway.
No, yeah.
It bothers me.
Yeah, I have no
so
idea.
So you're saying those Mexicans
like
are being racist by speaking Spanish to you
racism.
As you're reciprocating in English.
Clown Lotion, are you newly green? Is that, I don't remember you seeing green. You being green. Yep. Oh, shit. Never mind.
Hmm. All right. So speaking of racism, Wolfenstein 2, the new Colossus.
I mean, I know you're black, but sorry.
I didn't know Clown Lotion was black.
Yeah, but he's not like, I think he's like Cuban or something. What are you, Clown Lotion? Oh, it doesn't matter. All right, Bobby,
that's
go.
That's awesome, though. Dominican yeah. is not black, right?
He's coming to town.
I can't
month.
Wait. I'm excited. Yes. All right. Oh,
here
God. Wow, the memes are real in Discord. Anyways.
All right. If you're not in Discord, you're missing
out. All right. Let's move on. I'm going to.
All right. Wolfenstein 2.
Are you
the new
peeing
Colossus.
Again?
So I'm only a couple hours into this game. Came out on Friday. Actually, I think it came out on Thursday.
Why'd you stop playing, Bobby? Was it that problem that I mentioned last week?
No, I didn't stop playing.
Oh, okay.
I've been playing this as much as I can.
Okay.
Like, I just haven't had a lot of free time. But I think I'm about 3-4 hours in. And it's reminding me a lot of the first one. Now, the reviews on Steam are mixed. A lot of people are having technical issues with this game. I have not had any problem with it so far. It's running just fine on my computer. The graphics look great. It's everything that I expected. It brings a lot over from the old game. So one of my issues with the original game was the way you power up, the way their perk system works is you do 10 of this, and then you get 10% more damage on suppressed fire from silenced guns or something like that.
Yeah, you so know? It rewards you doing what you do best, yeah?
Yeah, so that's the idea. The idea right. is it adopts your play style, and then it benefits you from that. So if I'm going loud the whole time, I'm just running in guns blazing, then if I kill 100 enemies while dual wielding, then I get 10% faster reload or some shit like that. And so
there was something like that in the first game, right?
That's exactly how I was in the first
okay,
game.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's carried over into this game. Now, my problem with it was every 5 seconds, I'm hitting J, going over to the option screen and checking, okay, what do I need to get? All right, 10 kills with a knife. All right, so I'm running at the dudes, 10 kills with a knife. Got it. Okay, what am I doing next? Creates a very inorganic way of playing the game. Now, that could be my fault. So I'm just trying to ignore
it's
that.
It's obviously and, your fault.
Well, I mean, who's not going to do that? What gamer is not going to be like, okay, these are the perks that I get. How do I get them?
I believe I chased the ones that were beneficial to the way I play. I think that's the way I play.
Well, here's the real issue with it. It's exploitable. So you can go into an area where there's a whole bunch of bad guys and kill as many as you can with a knife, die, respawn right before that fight, do the same thing, and just farm those perks. Mm. That's not a very fun way to play the game.
So again, your own choice.
I know, but the game, who's not going to do that, though?
Most people, I think.
Maybe, but I'm doing my best to ignore that and just go through the game and try to take in as much of the story and the fun gameplay as I can. I mean, everything feels great. I know Chad's issue with the game when we talked about it was when you melee kill somebody, it goes into that animation and everyone else just kind of stands around and waits for you to finish till you come out of it. Also, if you throw a knife at someone and hit them in the foot, insta-kill. Like,
what's up with that?
Yeah,
just a knife weird. Is this insta-kill always?
Yep.
So yeah, please tell me that ammo is very hard to find, like knife ammo.
You can only carry three of them and usually don't have very many of them. Yeah, and you throw a knife, so there's a delay from when you throw it to when it lands. So I'm just going in guns blazing with dual wielding.
No, but you're not, though, because you're trying to chase all the little different things, right?
I'm a little bit, but not as much as the last time. The last time I was trying to
unlock everything. You're all over this place on this review, Bobby. I'm sorry. I can't keep track.
Well, I do like it. The story is all right so far. I knew. I called it at the last one. I'm like, there's no way he's dead. Because in the last Wolfenstein, the original one, he dies. You're meant to think that he's dead.
Spoilers.
No, the game's been out long enough. And there's a sequel with him in it, so I think everybody knows. But I knew he comes back, and I knew the main boss had to be Frau Angel or Angel.
Were you right about the 70s setting?
No. It takes place in 1961. But there's kind of
there's some 70s vibe.
Some 70s vibes, but 60s and 70s kind of bleed over into each other, you know, with the whole sexual revolution kind of thing and, you know, race relations. And a lot of that plays into it. So the thing that I like the most is the level of design and just the set pieces. I mean, you start out in a wheelchair and you got to fight your way out of that. You're all beat up. And they put you back together. You got a bionic suit, so you're moving around, and you're kind of a
ticking clock. That's really funny because when you say you started in a wheelchair, it sounds like game over.
Like the end. That should be the end. Of the
yeah.
End.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
Did you actually feel like?
Kidding, not kidding.
Kind of.
But I'm kidding.
Did you feel handicapped?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, it definitely impairs your movements. It was difficult. It was frustrating too.
You were actually fighting in the wheelchair.
Yeah, you're fighting
That's
in the wheelchair
impressive.
With a machine gun.
Man,
yeah.
the like.
He's
wow.
not the only one. Everybody who plays this game fights in a wheelchair.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But so it starts out like that. Then you get onto the stolen German U-boat, and you got to clean that place out because there apparently had been some Nazis down below who were transmitting signals and giving away your location. And then they take you to New York, and that's where you meet up with the Black Revolutionary Front, and you learn that the South has now been is being run by the Ku Klux Klan. So I'm excited to visit all these different places. This all takes place, I'm assuming, on American soil.
Do you not only kill Nazis, but you kill KKK?
That was in the trailer, so I assume so. I haven't gotten to that part yet. I've just left New York. So you get to see New York, 1961, ravaged from the war, and you get to fight through all that. And there hasn't been a boss fight yet. I felt by this time in the first game I had already encountered a boss. But a lot of the old enemies are back. You got your pyro Nazis. You got your straight up just assault rifle Nazis. You got the German Shepherds. At least that's what I assume they are. With the dogs, you got your robot Nazis, and then you got the, here's an interesting little thing. Like, I don't know where they're going with this, but so the main bad guy, remember the lady from the first one?
Yeah.
So
Scarface, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She looks really good. I mean, she's supposed to be 56 years old, but she looks pretty good in this one. Like the
you're saying like the graphically or she's attractive?
Like I'd hit it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, well, they have genetic manipulation, right?
I mean, maybe. I don't know how far advanced that is. But she's got a daughter in this one who's like a big girl. And she keeps like...
Who's like, a big girl, like older big girl or big girl?
Yeah, what are you saying?
Yeah.
Oh, heavy set. Okay.
Heavy set, yeah.
Oh, heavy set.
And she
there
keeps railing on her for that. And her daughter also is
oh,
like kind of
like
dissenting
my mom.
From the whole Nazi regime thing and doesn't know if she quite believes in it. And then she ends up leaving and joining your team. Not spoilers here. This is all happening pretty early in the game.
So German moms are just as horrible as Asian moms when it comes to getting on your case about your weight.
Yeah.
It will force you to lock yourself in a bathroom and cry.
Are you speaking of experience?
Yeah, totally. Oh, okay. My mom, like, not too long ago, my mom, last time I saw her, made me walk away, almost run, sprint to, like, beeline to the bathroom, lock myself inside and cry.
Wow.
All overweight.
Sam's mom told her that I haven't proposed to her because of her weight.
That's fucking rude.
I mean, she hit it
but
on the
here's
nose,
the thing
but...
too, and here's the thing too. Like my best friend, my BFF, is also a heavyset Asian girl, and it, like that's how we relate. Like we relate because our that like general antagonizing from our not antagonizing, but like the scrutiny from our mothers too.
This is true. So. Well, we're going to get racist, actually. So, all right, never mind. Go ahead, Bobby. Now, on that note, go on with your scene-by-scene review.
Every time my mom sees me, she's like, you're wasting away. You need to eat more. And then my girlfriend hears that, and my girlfriend tries. She gives me so much fucking food, and yeah. I feel so bad because I throw so much of it away. I'm just surrounded by people who are trying to get me fat. So, I don't know. I'm living the opposite life of you guys.
Bobby, I couldn't see you with a dad
bod. What do you mean, you guys? I'm very healthy. I'm very happy with my weight, Bobby. Fucking asshole.
By the way, did I say I don't have a thyroid? Because I haven't had a thyroid in a decade.
Like, is that a part?
No, it's very literal. I had it surgically radio.
No, like, but people are born with thyroids and now you don't have one?
No, I was born with a thyroid.
Okay, what happened to it?
It became overactive and then I had to destroy it. Literally, I drank radioactive iodine. And what I like nuked my thyroid 10 years ago.
And your
thyroid is basically like the traffic light when it comes to hormones and metabolism. So.
Do you supplement hormones?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. But then I still have to deal with all the symptoms. But let's move on. Let's go back to video games. I wonder which video game character doesn't have a thyroid.
So aggressive.
Who do you think doesn't have a thyroid? If you could guess, who's a really fat chick? Okay, the female boomer in Left 4 Dead 4 doesn't have a thyroid.
She's like a famous fat chick now. Melissa McCarthy?
Oh, I wonder if she has thyroid problems. We'll see. Moving on.
All right, Bobby, go back right into... I want you to transition right into Wolfenstein. Right there.
Thyroidism and Nazism.
So there's an overweight Nazi. That's the daughter of the main bad guy who joins your team there. And I don't know what's going to happen with that. I feel like I haven't even... I'm 4 hours into this game, and I feel like I haven't even reached the meat of the game yet. So I'm intrigued, though. The story's got a very weird tone to it. Like, I don't know. It's kind of got that whole over-the-top action hero vibe, but then it's also a little serious with the whole racism thing. And I don't know. I'm a little confused by it. But the bottom line is I'm having fun. It feels like Doom, but a little more slower paced with the combat. But still a good time. I remember cool.
Same engine,
game,
yeah?
Id Tech 6 is the engine, and I think, I want to say that's the same one from the original Wolfenstein. I have a lot more to say about it next week. I plan on finishing it pretty soon.
Not going to happen. I'm going to say it right here, right now. Bobby will not finish this game.
I mean, we'll see. I don't know how long the game is.
How much do you want to bet?
I'm 4 hours into it, and I started playing it last night. So, I mean, I'm putting in the work here. All right. But, yeah, more on that later. Wolfenstein.
Another $70 game, right, Bobby? Or $60?
$60.
And would you recommend?
A lot of people that are giving it negative reviews are saying wait for a patch because they're having some compatibility issues. I don't know if... Oh, New Order was Id Tech 5. So this is a newer engine.
What was Doom on, gents, please?
I want to say that was Id Tech 6.
Can I make a comment on the price value for Wolfenstein? I believe that if you're a diehard Wolfenstein player and want to play it on release, then by all means, $59.99 is a good price. But the thing about me, it's a single player game. So a lot of the reasons why I will pay full value on multiplayer games is because that's when everyone else is playing it and it's actually relative to gameplay. Mm-hmm. Whereas with single player, yes, you might not be able to keep up with the conversations of people playing the game, but at the same time, you're not like you could save so much more money just by being a little bit more patient with it without riding the hype train.
And who doesn't?
But with multiplayer, it's almost a necessity that you do purchase it early.
No, absolutely. And who doesn't have a backlog? that they could play while they wait for this to go on sale.
Exactly.
I think the real question is if you're going to play it. Like, I played this as soon as I could after it came out, and I knew that was going to be the case. So to me, it was definitely worth it to spend $60 and buy this game. However, South Park came out, and I knew for a fact, if I bought it,
oh, wait, I wasn't going to play it. I bought the game. Don't buy it. I bought the game.
Oh,
don't
you did
buy
get it.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
I bought the Fractured Butthole. It will be a while until I get around to it.
Because of Destiny, right?
Because of Destiny.
I'm not even buying anything on the Steam sale right now because I know I'm not going to play it. And there's going to be another sale in November.
By the time you get to it.
Backlog year. Can you imagine an entire year of just playing backlog games and not touching a single new release?
Ugh, I mean, it's possible.
Torture.
You could totally
It's possible.
But I'd say every couple of months, there's a game that I really want to play on release.
I just bought the Human... God damn it. Deus Ex.
Human Revolution.
For $15? Like, how could I not pick that up? But
that's
it's just going to
actually
there for a
really
while.
Good price. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Deus Ex is one of those titles I feel like you can wait years and years and years.
Nobody's even talking about that.
If necessary, to play the game. Yeah. Because even if you did play it on launch, there's like maybe one or two people in the crowd that can kind of keep up with where you're at.
So, last thing I want to say about Wolfenstein here, and this is not so much about the game, but about Steam. I'm not seeing the achievements pop up in the corner whenever I do something. I don't remember turning that off. I know it's something that you can turn off, but it's so much better playing the game like that. Because you see that little achievement pop up, like, oh, you need 10 more of these to get this achievement. And then all of a sudden, that becomes your goal instead of just playing the game naturally. So, I'm going to figure out how to turn that off for the rest of Steam, because I really do enjoy playing games without being notified every 10 seconds what achievement I'm close to getting.
I don't know where I said this, but I think it's pretty true. Consumerism is not more powerful anywhere than on Steam.
You said that last podcast.
Yeah, was it on the podcast? I thought I put it on Discord. That's what I said. But it's true, man. We just keep buying. We just keep buying even though we don't need.
And worshiping Gaben and
Yep. So speaking of buying and buying and buying, Steam sale is happening right now, going through the November 1st.
I don't have internet.
Oh, yeah. That is so well, you know what? You have your cell phone. The last time I didn't have internet or my computer hooked up to it, you know what I did? I downloaded a Tinder. Don't do it because you're in a relationship. But back then I was single and I was so bored that I downloaded Tinder for 48 hours and I trolled the fuck out of everybody. And I actually did go on one Tinder date with an Asian dude. And I was like, why am I on this Tinder date? I'm not even into Asian dudes.
You know they got small dicks, right?
No. That's racist, Emilio.
I'm pretty sure it's true.
I wouldn't know. I don't date Asian
dudes.
I've
seen a lot of porn and it's all holding. Every stereotype holds up.
Oh my gosh.
So they got horror movies on this sale as well. The Faculty. Okay, there's a good one. I haven't seen that one in a minute.
Oh man, remember
that
Dante's
movie? Never heard of it.
The Faculty?
Oh yeah.
Where all the teachers like turn into evil aliens.
Yeah, and what's her name? The Smoke Show.
Elijah Wood?
No. She's
Elijah Wood?
She's Arabic and Mexican. Salma Hayek, right?
Oh, she in that?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she's in
that. What's his name? The guy from The Daily Show, John Stewart, was one of the teachers that like turns evil. I don't know. I'm totally getting into movies and TV shows on Steam. Like, I'll totally buy, like, $5, I'll buy a movie I like on Steam. I just like having all that shit on Steam.
Would you guys vote for John Stewart if he ran?
For president?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know anything
about
politics.
People whisper
about
it, but would you?
Would he be going up against Dwayne Johnson because I want him as my president?
He's been talking about it, right?
Yeah.
Ooh, It Follows. Now, there's a good one. I'll probably buy that one. $4.94. Like, I'll pick up It Follows.
Battle Royale's on there. $4.95.
The original screen. All right, let's look at some games, though. Some games. I know I checked my wish list to see what was on sale, and there were a few that
I actually had a couple go on sale.
Detention was a scary game that Chad had recommended, or he had brought up at some point.
I might
Bobby,
have to play that one.
Bobby, did you play, the DLC is called The Following, Dying Light?
Dying Light? No, I haven't played Dying Light.
It's a really good game, and I need somebody to co-op The Following with me.
Oh, there's a Learn Japanese RPG
game. I doubt you're
going
to play through the first one to catch up with me.
That's cool.
I need somebody to volunteer to be my buddy. I have it downloaded right now, The Following. If somebody's got it, message me on Discord. I want to get through the DLC.
All right. Putting that out there. Bayonetta 1339, not bad. I don't know. Are you guys... I'm seriously not going to buy anything.
I'm not going to buy anything.
Maybe some movies, but like other than that, like... I don't think I'm going to grab anything. Maybe
if you don't have Darkest Dungeon, actually, that's not a very good price. $23. I've seen it for $10. So.
Yeah, but isn't that's got to be like some sort of special?
Oh, it probably has the ancestral. It has the DLC. Which, how much is the DLC? The Crimson Court and the Shieldbreaker. How much are those?
$9.99 on sale. Oh, $10 for the game, Darkest Dungeon.
Yeah, but so definitely then, get that. If you don't have Darkest Dungeon, definitely get that.
Yeah, $10.
Yeah, absolutely. And shout out to Jens, who actually picked up Soma during the Halloween sale
and is
about 3 hours in and says it's pretty good. So for $7.49, get on that Soma train.
How much is Soma right now?
$7.49.
Oh, that's a deal. Yeah, you got to get that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they got some good deals.
Is this a good time for a random history fact?
Why not?
That in there?
Yeah, I suppose.
Bobby, earlier when you were talking about the free love movement from the 60s to the 70s, I think I've said this on the podcast, but it's the greatest fact that I know. So back in like the 50s, the CIA got their hands on the very first amounts of LSD. They ordered 800 like big tubs, like Breaking Bad tubs of it. 800 of those of LSD.
Whoa.
And we're trying to figure out, like, what can we use this for? The Russians were experimenting with it. The CIA was experimenting with it. And what they would do is, this is all on record. This is all part of the Freedom Information Act. None of this is, like, conspiracy theory. So, like, at CIA parties, they would, like, dose each other. Because they had tons of it. And they were supposed to, like, kind of figure out what to do with it. So, anyway, there's many stories of them putting in the punch bowl. They had this thing called Project Something or Other, where they set up a fake whorehouse and they were dosing the Johns that came in.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, and like following them and like recording what they did. They gave it to like platoons of army on purpose. Like they knew, hey, you guys are going to take this. Try to get from point A to point B. These are army guys. They could not do it. Obviously, they're all fucked up. They're up in trees and shit. Anyway, what I'm trying to get to is this all happened, and there was rogue agents in the CIA, and this one dude just took off with a bunch of LSD and moved to San Francisco and started having the very first proto-raves ever. And this is in the 50s, late 50s.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, yeah, you know the story of like Kenny Chesney or what's his name?
The guy who
wrote One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. I got a book. It's actually sitting in that shelf about how he was one of the test subjects for that.
Oh, yeah.
And then
yeah.
He got his hands on a whole bunch of it. And then he would have people over, like famous artists and celebrities come over, and he would have these crazy parties where they would take this and do all this weird shit. And then he had his own like little following. They drove around in a bus. It's a really interesting book.
The guy who tried to blow up the World Trade Center, he was one of the test subjects as well. I forget his name. But, the first guy to do it in that van. I don't know. Anyway, that guy. So this rogue agent moves to San Francisco, starts throwing these crazy LSD parties nobody's ever had. But we're talking about the 50s. Think about Mad Men, right? Everybody's buttoned up. Everybody's very suits and tie. And
of course.
The world is pretending to be perfect. And then the free love hippie movement grew out of San Francisco and took over, you know, went across the nation with all these hippies. So the fact of the podcast is that the most hippie movement ever started by the suits. The CIA started the hippie movement inadvertently.
Funny.
How fucking crazy is that?
Right.
The craziest thing that I know.
I think there's somebody in Wolfenstein. There's this guy and it keeps like flashing to this guy and he has all these crazy like dreams or something like that. And he's describing all these weird events and everything. And then he's like sitting in his room, like just chilling out on music and getting all into it. And I think he's doing acid and they haven't revealed it yet, but
yeah,
I'm pretty sure that's what it's leading
to. That's probably
what
it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting stuff. All right. You want to talk about Everspace? The new DLC?
So, as Everspace came out with their first DLC, it's called Encounters. And it's a lot of the times when things name things,
by the way, weren't you streaming this?
I tried to, nobody was watching. So I shut it down. People don't like to watch this, and I'll get into why, I think. But a lot of times you'll be like, blah, 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 and then the DLC will be like Night's Dawn. It doesn't really mean anything, but Encounters really summed it up. That's what it is. They put NPCs in the game, And so you run in with them, and they have fully voiced encounters. You have encounters with a bunch of alien races that were never there before, and they give you missions and shit like that. So it's you're getting exactly what they say. The original game felt... I love the original game. It's a roguelike... roguelike space shooter that has like AAA graphics. Beautiful, beautiful graphics. And I was calling for this for years, and it finally came, and this was just what I liked. But it did feel a little like lonely. You were there. It didn't feel like people lived in this space. You were just flying around... and flying around rocks.
I figure space would be very lonely, though. That seems very befitting.
But you're jumping to populated areas, but it was always just bad guys, and they don't talk to you. So it's lonely in that way, where there's like nobody to talk to. And now there's people to talk to.
Could there be... I was going to ask that.
That's okay. What encounters put. So for $10, you get people to talk to and missions. You never really had missions before. And that's pretty much all of that, but let me go back into Everspace and why it's good. It's a very relaxing roguelike. You can just go and just kind of explore. You are kind of timed. You will be attacked if you stay in one place too long. But it's just beautiful. You get to fly around and just enjoy the scenery and kind of hunt for loot. And it's just fun. It's a really good game. I love this game.
I highly recommend it.
But it's not for everybody. I've had several people buy it on my recommendation.
It's like, I recommend Everspace if you're on LSD and looking to relax.
I've probably never had as much, I wouldn't say pushback. A lot of people bought this off of my recommendation from the podcast and said that they didn't get it. So it's not for everybody. It's a little slow paced. The action, when you do get in fights, which is every sector, is really exciting, but there's a lot more exploring than there is fighting. So if it's not for you, let me at least put that caveat on it this time.
How would you compare Everspace to No Man's Sky? Obviously, you're not landing, but do you think it does this?
It's way more fun. I love roguelikes. Yeah. I'm a sucker for roguelikes. So
Everspace is $29.99, but the DLC is $9.99.
Yeah, and you can get them both for $33.98, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or that's the upgrade to the deluxe edition.
I would recommend it. But again, it comes with the caveat. Like, this is like right up my alley.
Yeah, one of these days I got to try that game out.
See, Clown Lotion right now, Everspace controls really threw me off. Couldn't get into it. And I find the controls 100% the most intuitive controls ever. It just worked for me. Most flying sims, I can't play them. I couldn't play Valkyrie Eve. I couldn't play the other big one, the exploring one. Shit, it doesn't matter. Any space game, I can't get into. This one, it just felt natural. It felt like I was playing Half-Life 2 as Half-Life 2 controls. That's how I felt, but I'm flying in a spaceship. God, I'm getting drunk.
All right, well, let's move on to some news.
All right, I gotta pee.
All right, for this news piece, recently, while I was going through my Google feed, I saw that a competitive player for League of Legends, Chinese player, was recently fired because of domestic abuse, and it was caught on camera. I mean, we've seen it all before with our NFL players and our sports athletes, but this time it was Vasily. I don't know how to actually say his name, but he was streaming on Twitch and went on a violent rampage against his girlfriend, not actually caught on camera, but recorded through audio. So in any regards, this was all... The thing about Twitch is that really it's live streaming. Everything gets caught. I've known about live streamers who have been supposedly caught masturbating and or like accidental nip slips, crotch shots. And it's very intimate. I mean, you are being recorded live. Mm-hmm. And so this is, and there apparently have been streams that where people have been robbed, and there have been other cases of violent abuse. But this one here is an actual competitive player who is on a payroll and, you know, was domestically beating his girlfriend. And almost immediately, within a couple of hours, he lost his job and his reputation, all fleshed down. And it's one of those things where I think and I believe that they should have done all of this. Like, you know, this is, of course, pending further investigation. But I think that's the appropriate response, that if somebody is, you know, a bad person in regards to his personal life, that where he is showcased as a celebrity, he is a mainstream person, and he does something in regards to domestic abuse, it should not be ignored. Neither should it be rewarded by him keeping, you know, his position. And there are so many acts of sexual protests right now where a lot of women are coming out for are being sexually harassed in their work environment. And I think Riot did the right thing in terms of suspending this player, especially after being caught on camera. And, you know, that is the proof in the pudding itself that this is not appropriate behavior. And they responded appropriately in my response in regards of like ending his internet career.
He was a Chinese player, correct?
Chinese, yes.
Which is Asian, right?
Yes.
Which means he had a small dick, right?
God damn it. I think that's why he's angry.
I think that's maybe
why
he's angry.
We're going to lose all of our Asian listeners. Stop it. Anyways.
I'm so sorry.
No. Gosh. Anyways. Okay, there goes our homosexual listeners and all of our Asian listeners. We're just losing all the listeners back to back. But anyways, now, how do you feel in regards to knowing about this now, Bobby?
It seems like the right call was made. I mean, they did the right thing. The guy seems like an idiot. I mean, the stream's running and you do something like that. I mean, Emilio showed his butt on stream.
Yeah, that's true.
I forgot about that.
I went to bed. I always sleep naked. I went to bed and my ass was showing.
Yeah, see, there are certain behaviors which, like, you know, a ban is, you know, a temporary ban would be appropriate. And if you guys didn't know, I hear there were a couple, bans because of Destiny 2 where people, like an overlay would force you to get banned. But I think they work that out. I'm not sure if
they didn't necessarily said don't stream this, but, or what? Do they not want you streaming it?
There were certain overlay programs that, like, even if you weren't hacking, it triggered the element in which would force you to be banned from Blizzard as an entirety and as a permanent ban. But it was, I don't remember how many there were, but it was, you know, a surprising amount of people upon launch. But the response from Blizzard and Bungie was, hey, you know, it's like these bans are actually intimately reviewed. They're not just, you know, through the system. We made the decision to ban these people, and therefore, you know, we're going to back up all these bans that we have, even though a lot of people were complaining that, hey, I only had Discord overlay on. This is not okay that you, like, the level of strictness on program integration got me banned. But that's all like banning of the account and everything else. This is more in regards to a celebrity technically being
kind of like when the whole thing happens with like a football player beating up on his girlfriend and the hotel releases the videotape or something. Now we have this happen in esports.
Yeah.
Except skinny Asian dudes.
Yeah, except the, you know, NFL player keeps his job and the competitive player loses it immediately. But that's a good thing, in my opinion. I think it's a good thing that they're taking the right action in regards to reaction in regards to domestic abuse.
As soon as I read this, I was thinking, how does this guy make money? So does... Are there smaller leagues that'll be like, what fuck? We'll take you right now. You're like one of the premier players. Maybe the lower tier bracket would be like, we'll take you right now. It doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Just so we can have a player of your caliber. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you take a... Okay, so let's say that Ray Rice was the guy who knocked out his girlfriend. Let's say he was banned from the NFL forever. He would be picked up right away by the Canadian Football League because of his skills, right? Mm. So does that happen in esports? Is there money?
I doubt it.
Because
I doubt it.
Esports don't... I don't think they work the same way as other sports in that there's star players who just alone carry a game. I don't know. When you play esports, it's so much about team composition and just getting the right people on the right team who just gel well together. So I don't know if it's just like they treat players so much as a commodity. Maybe in other esports, certainly not in Heroes of the Storm, which is the one that I'm most familiar with, but in League and Dota, it may be different, or Counter-Strike.
I like your mention there, Hexus. He said that reactionary crap deserves... a similar response. So he reacted, they reacted. Go fuck yourself, dude. You don't yell at girls or hit them.
All right. Let's skip on over to the next one. Third person. I butchered that. Blizzard unveils plans for improving the Overwatch viewing experience. So let me play this video and see if we can see
what they're
talking
about. Does that mean we're going to see more of May?
Quite possibly.
Good.
But I think one of the things I mentioned in this article is that they're going to have a third person over the shoulder point of view for some characters. This looks just like a dude talking the entire time.
That's what they
interesting
do.
At
people,
all.
People talk. Dudes talk.
That's
over
Jeff Kaplan.
People talk.
Yeah, dude, Jeff Kaplan. He's in charge of all of the Overwatch development videos.
Would you bang?
No. I mean, no.
Being
no,
who
no,
he
no,
is, no. Not on looks.
No.
Mm-mm. I wouldn't.
I don't think prestige really falls into a huge factor.
You wouldn't smash Gaben?
I would, but I'm not.
Gaben.
Well, only because of who he is, but that's Gaben.
Well, you just said prestige.
Like that's, no, but this is Jeff Kaplan.
Oh, most prestige.
There is
no, but
there
top
is
prestige.
There is no lady boner prestige for Jeff Kaplan. I'm right. Sorry. No, right. No thanks.
Interesting. Oh, wow, that's a bad picture of him.
Yeah, a horrible picture of him.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
So the thing that I really took away from this article, one of the things that really detracts from Overwatch esports is the viewing experience. And they're really pushing this. They're really trying to make Overwatch esports like the next MLB or the next NFL or NHL or another acronym for a sport.
Well, Blizzard does have a new esports arena coming out, so.
WNBA.
Ooh, that's the most popular one. How do we leave that one out?
Yeah, but they're really trying to make this an esport, and a big complaint they've had is it's hard to watch. It's hard to really know what's going on. They cut between like a full view of one control point, and I'm noticing in esports on Overwatch they're doing that less and less. Most of the time, you're watching a first person perspective from one of the players. So the third person over the shoulder seems like a great idea. So I'm glad they're putting this in. I think it's going to make a huge difference. I think it's what it needs, especially when they're trying to get this whole league thing going. I'm glad they're paying attention to this.
I really hope they figure it out, not for themselves, but I hope that they figure it out and then PUBG can adopt whatever that Blizzard does, because PUBG is what I want to watch, but it's kind of unwatchable in a tournament pro kind of setup.
Well, you know what's weird? Counter-Strike doesn't have... We got great picture
of Gaben here. Yeah. He has a lot of accoutrements.
Well, in our live Discord chat, I put 11 out of 10 would fuck.
Yeah.
F-U-Q.
Nice. I think that means smashable.
So in Counter-Strike, they don't...
Smashing confirmed.
They don't have a third person over the shoulder point of view. But I think that's observed very well. The observers do a good job of giving you an idea of where the players are at. But that's a different kind of game. I mean, that's just like, boom, boom, someone's dead and they're taken out.
Yeah.
It's very slower paced.
It's rough.
Overwatch is just like shit's flying everywhere. There's explosions and laser beams.
My guess is the only way that PUBG... This is my guess. The only way PUBG is going to be an esport, and this sucks, is in VODs. Like once... Somebody has to edit heavily and record almost every kill, but put them in a good order. Yeah, it's rough.
Just make a PUBG sizzle reel.
Kind of. Anyway, let's keep moving.
Hardware. Chi, how's it going with that keyboard?
Oh, right. As mentioned in the last podcast, I took home the Bloody Keyboard B820R. So the B820R, it's known to be an illuminated keyboard with the quietest mechanical clicks and also with the lowest latency time on your clicks. And so far, I am enjoying it, Emilio. Yeah. Thank you so much for suggesting that I take this home and try it out for myself. The layout is proportionate. I am happy that the numpad is on the right side. I'm not really big on the light bright element. I don't really fuck with the different effects of that because I'm not looking at
my
keyboard.
You can turn it off.
I know, but I leave it on regardless. Okay. But I'm not really messing with that keyboard, so it doesn't matter too much to me. What matters is how my typing is and my gameplay. Mm. Some things that I do notice, they do pride themselves on being a very low latency click keyboard. The thing is, though, it is a very hypersensitive keyboard. So one thing that happened to me, and as I was learning the keyboard, I would, for some
reason,
when I'm typing, I would always like triple a letter. Like for smoochy instead of one X, it was like smooch triple X chi. So
I've
I was like, damn. But here's the thing. Like, I was like, okay, well, then this is just that keyboard. And it there's a learning curve to it because it is extremely sensitive. I love that it's quiet, though. I never get any complaints about my keyboard being too loud, and I used to get that. As for me, I have yet to stream with the keyboard. I still want to try it out. I don't see myself returning to my old keyboard, and only because it's bright and shiny and new and clean. My other keyboard, I was like swapping it out, and I was just lurking. I was looking at the gunk just caked on top. I was like, holy shit.
Wait, hold on. So are you switching because you like the new keyboard because of its qualities more, or because you haven't shit on it yet?
Well, a little bit of both, 50-50. Okay, okay. It is a cleaner keyboard. It's new and it's clean. And I've yet to taint it, but no.
How'd somebody come up with that already?
The fact that I transitioned, transition from my previous keyboard to my new one, button placement, it's perfect and it's quieter. So I noticed that too. It's a good trade-off. It's a really good trade-off so far. I'm happy. Thank you.
Yeah, so no problem. So if you want your own, this is the best keyboard I've ever used. Maybe there's other better ones, but how much are these, Bobby? Do you know?
For the B820R, I think it's $89.99 on Amazon.
It's a sick fucking keyboard.
I do have one complaint, though.
You get 10% off if you go to Amazon and put in Bloody DL as your promo code. Go ahead.
My complaint is it doesn't come with the mat. I don't know what it's officially called, but it's the part where it hooks onto the bottom. It's like the wrist mat. The palm rest. It doesn't come with a palm rest by default. And I was like, the fuck? How can I use this keyboard with a palm rest?
Nah,
I need, for me, I would like a palm rest.
I don't think any keyboard comes with those, do they?
Mine did. Mine's
a
mechanical keyboard. Bobby's keyboard right now.
Because people are very divided on... I hate palm rests. I'll never use a keyboard with one. So a lot of people or a lot of companies will release it with a detachable palm rest that you can put on and off.
Detachable, yes, I understand that. Yeah. And I would only want a detachable one, but if it comes with a palm rest, I will be using the palm rest. Okay. And I noticed in the beginning that I need the palm rest.
I can't blame any keyboard for not coming with one because it's kind of a divided, like not everybody likes them. Like yeah. Bobby. So like it would cost you an extra $5 to put one in every pack.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean? I don't want to deal with having to go back, look for the add-on, purchase the add-on, wait for it to come, and for it to never come because, you know, fuck the postman.
She is the master of shitting on our sponsors. All right,
I'm not shitting on them. I'm just saying. If you can improve, throw in a $5 palm rest. Motherfuckers.
It is a great keyboard. I really enjoyed using that BH20R.
Yeah, me too. This is my current keyboard.
Yeah, it's fantastic. But I will say I understand where you're coming from, where switching a keyboard takes some getting used to. Like, as good as it is, like, I would sometimes hit the wrong keys on it, and I wasn't used to how sensitive the keys were. So after, I think, about a week or two, you'll fit right in with that one. All right, Ryzen mobile CPUs are coming out, and these are supposed to be really good. So this doesn't really apply too much to gaming. I mean, possibly. But
What phones are they going into?
No, these are for laptops.
Oh, my bad.
Mobile stuff, yeah. So they're looking pretty good. I've always been a fan of AMD and their APUs. I've always thought they work great for home theater PCs and just smaller stuff. The question is, like, what's the battery life going to be like? What's the power usage? So, I mean, we'll see when more tests are released on those. But just throwing that out there, if any of you crazy people game on a laptop, I don't recommend it. But
any of you crazy people game on a laptop?
I don't understand how people game on laptops.
I really did. But I also did buy, like, a super customized, what was it, iBuy Power laptop. And it only lasted about 2 years. But it was a good 2 years.
I mean, that's what, you're right, Windows stuff, 2 years, laptops.
Yeah.
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 Can't expect too much from.
And then I gave it away to my sister for her school laptop. And I'm like, sister, do you know how many cool games you can play on that laptop? And she's just like, oh, I use it for school emails and that's it.
Did you guys hear about what happened, who the richest man in the world is now? Did you hear what it happened
what?
2 days ago?
Who?
So Amazon put out their earnings report, which means like what Amazon is worth, basically. And Jeff Bezos instantly gained $9 billion on top of what he already had. So he bypassed Bill Gates as the richest man in the world.
Who's Jeff
Bezos?
Whoa,
so Amazon.
Jeff Bezos is the CEO of Amazon.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, yep, so that's happening.
That's ridiculous.
Oh, and on Amazon, I love fucking Amazon. I'm sorry. I'm corporate all the way, I guess. Have you guys heard of Amazon Access or Amazon?
How about
Key?
Amazon the Orphanage? Do something good with all
no,
that
they
money.
Do.
They do?
I talked about this maybe 5 weeks
Will
ago.
Will they prime deliver an adoptive child
for
people?
He tweeted out, I need to help the world with all my money. Tweet me what needs to be done. And he has a team of people going through those and sifting the best ones. And he's going to start donating to all the best ones.
How about giving all those poor parentless children jobs via packing, like holiday packages for everyone? Just a warehouse
Turn
full
them
of
into
little
Christmas
elves.
Elves.
Yeah.
I don't.
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Oh my gosh. No, I think that's great. But, if he has all that money and should be doing something.
Oh, Amazon.
Good for the world with it.
Key, it's called. So,
oh, I heard about that. Yeah.
So I think it goes in conjunction with Ring. So Ring is like that doorbell that you, and then it shows you. So you're not home. Somebody rings your doorbell. It shows up on your phone. You look at them. You let them in or you don't let them in or talk to them. Just like, fuck off, bro. Whatever you want. But now Amazon will have access to your house and just like put your package right inside your room or your door instead of, like they can unlock the door. Remote.
Yeah, but it sends you, it gives them a one-time code to enter your house, and then after that, the code's not. It's just like when you use the like TeamViewer. You give them, you read them the code, and then they type in the code, and it's good for that session, and then it expires.
Whoa!
So yeah, you can let you don't really have to be home, and they can leave the package inside your house.
It's really good. It's fantastic, actually, because I have a.
I mean, there's still room for human error. And when I say human error, I mean shady Amazon guy that goes into your home. And
here's the other thing. What do people have
dog.
That's valuable in
I'm
their
just
house
kidding.
Anymore? Like,
I'm kidding.
People don't have thousands of dollars of jewelry
Yeah, that's
anymore.
True.
It's true. It's like a TV on the like on the black market, like on the street. Like a flat screen TV will maybe get you $100. Maybe.
Yeah.
Like,
but if you're buying it out of the back of some dude's van. Like, $100.
My Acer Predator monitor is the number one thing people would steal.
Yeah, the most valuable thing that
might
some people
get $200.
I feel like in this day and age, we almost need like caches outside of our home instead of just a mailbox.
They're called banks, Sam or Sam. I yell at Sam a lot.
No, you don't get deliveries to banks like caches. What I mean by caches is like
a mailbox.
No, like a giant bin, like. Like
well, they have Amazon
loot boxes,
lockers.
Caches, loot caches, those giant bins, and maybe like an extension
you
right outside your home.
Loot boxes in real life?
Yeah, right outside your house.
How sick would that
You
be?
Know, and then have like a punch code in for that instead of somebody actually having full access to your
so
to your
like,
front door.
Like a mailbox.
Like a giant mailbox that can actually fit a box inside of it. Because
so like
mailboxes
mailbox.
Are more
oh,
for
a
envelopes.
Box in a box, that's so meta.
A cache. Like, don't you know what a cache is? C-A-C-H... E,
uh-huh.
Cash,
y?
Like a giant cash.
E-Y-I?
What?
Elemental
Let's just keep moving.
Right.
I don't even know what we're talking about anymore.
Giant mailboxes. So I guess I'll talk about this. It's not really computer hardware, but I'm... I'm setting up my smart home. I wish there were more options for lighting when it comes to smart homes, but there really isn't. But my first addition to that.
There's so many options.
But I mean, what Alexa and whatnot. Alexa
they have bulbs.
That
you can connect to your Wi-Fi.
Or light switches. So you don't have to do the bulbs. You can do the
There's like no good ones out there.
Bobby, your house could really use some Christmas lights or something.
Yeah, I want to redo the lights. I'm going to get an electrician in here and talk. But yeah, I want to.
We should deck out your studio for Christmas. I would love that.
It would look pretty good. People put up Christmas lights on the balcony a lot. It looks fancy, but yeah.
How come your girlfriend doesn't decorate your studio for the holiday?
I don't know. Yeah, not big on the decorations. Mm.
The bulbs suck ass. Get the switches. There you go, Bobby.
The switches?
Smart switches.
Yeah, I've heard bad things about the bulbs. But the switches, I haven't found any good ones either. And they're different. You got a two-wire, you got a three-wire switch. And I don't know what you need? Complicated.
You need an indoor drone that will light up your place and follow you around wherever you go. So that way you just have lighting just where you
just
are. It's like
a
spotlight drone.
A spotlight. Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool if it just followed you around your house. Like a nightlight drone.
That'd be kind of creepy.
Yeah.
But anyway, the first edition that I've got is a Nest thermostat. I finally got one of those. So I don't think I'm using this thing right. I use it like a normal thermostat. It looks sleek. It looks great. I love the look of it. I like being able to control it from my phone, from a web browser, from anywhere. But the idea behind these Nest thermostats is that after a week or two, they learn what temperature you like it at what time, and they can tell when you're home and when you're not, and then they adjust accordingly. So ideally, you never have to touch your thermostat. It just automatically sets itself to whatever.
That's wicked. I do like that.
But I'm not using that feature.
Because I'm sure when you're sleeping, you want it much cooler. And then when you're not at home, it could be whatever. But they might want to cool it down right before you get home. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty awesome.
That's the idea. But I'm just so paranoid that it's not going to work. And then my AC is going to be cranking for like hours when I'm not home. Of course, that happens anyway sometimes when I forget. But I don't know. I'm still like an old man, you know, just always like keeping my eye on the thermostat.
As for cost efficiency, how is it?
I've only gotten one bill since I've had it, and I mean, it's a little bit lower, and I run my air conditioner a lot, so I don't know if it's really made a huge difference yet.
I think the number one thing that would help you with the air conditioning is putting down the shades, too.
But also, Bobby, we've gone through a heat wave, too.
Yeah, it's been incredibly hot.
Intense
recently.
Heat wave.
It's October, and we're at like 104, I think, the other day hit.
Yeah, it broke 100.
And it actually snowed for the first time in Minnesota today, too. Well, I brought that up because Minnesota is my home state.
Guys,
we're dealing with a heat wave over 100 degrees, and some people are getting their first snow.
We show up every week here, and we do our best, even though sometimes it sucks. And we get one listener question all fucking week, guys. Can we do better? I mean, ask me how big my balls are. I don't care. We just need content.
Or ask my pinky toe.
Throw them up right now.
How big his balls are, because I'm pretty sure that's where it is right now.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't know, Emilio is my my foot warmer.
Foot warmer, yeah.
Every single podcast.
Usually it's my butt cheek, but she's really close to my balls. No,
I'm just kidding.
Right now.
Well, good thing my pinky toe is like completely callous over.
This
because
is no
that
shit.
I can't even feel anything. So.
So usually when you're at bars, girls are on stools, and this is no shit. I would go up with girls that I would only like casually know, not strangers. That would be sexual harassment. But I would rest my balls on their knee while they're sitting at the thing and be like,
"What? Really?"
Because your knees kind of jut out when you're on a stool. Think about like your position. And I'd be like, "Hey, how's it going?" And they're like, "Why is my knee warm?" And then anyway, it's a conversation. It's hilarious.
That's not creepy at all.
It's like being on your girl in the shower. It's like hilarious. It's
oh my gosh.
Wow. All right. So the one listener question we do have is coming from Shadow Master. He asks, what game soundtracks did you actively search out for after you started playing the game? So that's a good question.
Yeah. Bastion.
Ooh. And mine bounces off of that. Transistor for me. That was
Same
such a good
developers,
soundtrack.
By the way.
And And I've said this before on podcast.
There's a lot. Yeah, I think we've talked before about games that have really good soundtracks, but I'm trying to think. I like the way he phrased the question. Yeah. Like, what did you actively search out? Because sometimes I'll be playing a game and I'll hear a song and I'm like, fuck, yeah, I got to look that track up and like bookmark that or save it. And I know playing the Deadpool game, there's a like a dream sequence where they're playing this one track and I thought that one was pretty good. So I looked it up.
But, like techno or something?
No, it wasn't techno.
I do appreciate the good songs on video game commercials as well. Because Borderlands, I always looked at the song.
Great.
That one, what's that one video game? Bayonetta with the hot chick and the long black hair. Mm-hmm. I actively looked that up. Assassin's Creed, when the first year they came out with Iron Kid, that was such Gears of War. Like the commercials, the video game commercials, the music that they use for that, it's actually very, very good. So I find myself looking up those songs a lot too.
Hmm. Any soundtracks you guys have bought for a video game? Just like, yeah, that's good music. I like to play that while I'm just walking around the house.
I don't buy my music. I pay for a Spotify subscription, but I do not buy my music. No, sir.
I just asked for listener questions, and one of the first ones to come out is from Clown Ocean asking if you're open or closed-toed shoes right now. And I think he's asking that for his own kink, so we're not going to answer that.
I wore boots today because I'm wearing the PUBG costume.
She looks awesome. Yeah. It's a really good costume.
Thank you. Yeah. And it was a low budget. I literally put it together the 2 hours before recording this podcast. And I just have my socks on, so no boots, socks only.
Nikon, my BTUs for my balls is, I just started taking testosterone about 4 weeks ago, so higher than normal, I would say.
Why are you taking testosterone?
Because it makes me feel awesome. what else is there? Bobby, I can't read anymore.
What are your favorite video game movies?
Yeah, we're not going to answer that one again. Sorry, Spoobaka.
I don't know if there's any good ones out there.
All right.
Let me check the listener question. Would you be interested in an open relationship with me, asked Hexus.
Well, I don't know. Let's see a picture. Click on his name. Does he have a face as his picture?
In general, like with your significant other. Like, Chi, what do you, I know for you, you're super jealous.
I'm super exclusive. My boyfriend and I are both very much one man, woman. I am.
But if you offered him a threesome, you don't think he would say no?
I wouldn't be the type to offer a threesome.
No, I know that.
Unless he wants,
but he'd be up for it.
Unless he wants like somebody with a slit throat laying on his naked
body.
Whoa,
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I'm very jealous, and so is he. So it's so I wouldn't.
Bobby, would you be in an
open relationship? Is not me at all.
An open relationship?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you love each other, but you fuck other people.
What's the point of being in a relationship then?
Okay. This is something funny that I said before, but it's actually kind of true. I enjoy playing video games more than I like sex sometimes. And I'm not saying sex is bad. Sex is great. But if I had spare time and didn't know what to fucking do with myself, you know, getting like getting off takes less than like 2 minutes, 5 minutes with the right type of porn. And then you could play video games for hours on end. So why not play a really good video game other than trying to throw a fucking orgy?
Sex is like a big one
with a
big
stranger
release.
And with STDs and with like awkwardness, and
video games can be like an extended hourly orgasm. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah, you can.
That's a true gamer right there. And they actually, I think I brought this up previously before. There was an article that said gamers generally have lower libido than people who are non-gamers.
Wow,
because
where'd you read that? I'd be interested in reading
it. It's because they release, they release endorphins through gaming. And like sex, I'm sorry guys, like, and I also don't have a thyroid as I mentioned earlier, so my libido is probably already pretty low. But like
Can you tell the listeners what you guys call it? I think it's so cute.
What
you guys call sex?
Woohoo.
Woohoo.
That's an old school term. Woohoo.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
We call it
it's not just 2 minutes, but it's one of those things where it's like, I love video games so much. If like, I don't actively pursue being sexually active, I actively pursue playing the next best game or a game that wouldn't like, you know, satisfy me. Yeah.
It's funny. So if I had my choice, obviously I would take sex over video games, but then I can get sex done in 20 seconds and then game for 8 hours.
See, so that's the thing. I feel like I don't know. I don't, it's like, but to each their own, I guess.
Probably be better.
You know, we're video game addicts and there are sex addicts out there. Maybe you're both. But for me, I would not call myself a sex addict, but I would definitely be a video game addict.
As far as open relationship, it only works one way. I can have sex with as many people as I want, and they can't have sex with anybody else.
And see, I work next to Hillcrest, so I know people of around the world sexualities. I know pansexuals, which if you didn't know, are people that can love anyone as long as they have those feelings of admiration towards them. They could be old, young,
animals?
Male, female. I guess animals would fit into that category,
so, right?
too. Whoa. And I know people who are like, I'm a type of person who needs a boyfriend and a girlfriend, and I can have a threesome with them, but I can't have them love each other or like each other. It's like having one of each.
Whoever you're describing, I already hate.
And that's the thing. I know people. No, it's not me. Like I said, I'm very much like a.
Yeah.
I'm like a Catholic woman when it comes to my relationship. Yeah. I'm very much like.
I could tell.
Yeah, except for the like premarital sex thing, but it's all about loyalty in my eyes. Really, mm-hmm. It's not so much of love because, like, you know, you could fall in and out of love with somebody, especially being in a long-term relationship. But like family and loyalty and ties, like that's everlasting in my opinion.
Yeah.
So, but we'll, but yeah.
Hmm.
What question opened this up? Oh, Hexus. That's right.
Yeah.
Did we even get to look at his picture? He changed his picture. Right, wait. Click on Hexus's Discord profile. I want to see his picture because he is interested in Emilio. Hey.
He's
not
bad looking.
Oh, he's
like
a bit. Oh,
he's like a.
Oh, he's good looking.
He's
Emilio,
like a
would
redheaded
you?
Redheaded Chad.
Yes. Oh my God, he's like the Chad we used to know.
Oh my God.
But Chad never did facial hair, so.
I was gonna disclose.
Hexus wants to be your bear. You guys would be a bear couple. You know that's a thing, right?
Wait, how do we, what?
In the gay world, bears.
I would not have sex with Hexus.
Hexus.
I would let him gladly have sex with you, but I wouldn't.
We've been on this for a long time.
All right, let's move on.
Okay, well, I think that's about it.
All right. Cool. what's the time stamp, babe? Bobby? Where are we at?
Hour 45.
All right, that's a good time to wrap it up. Guys, I'm not going to make a habit of this because when I hear this on podcasts, it's the worst thing podcasts do, kind of like a pledge drive. But we have a bunch of money saved up because we had no money, like we had no reason to spend it because our costs are pretty low. We already bought all the equipment, blah, blah, blah.
We spent a lot of our own money.
We spent a lot of our own money.
To be honest, we spent all of our own money on
games
and everything
else.
Using
Patreon money ever. We're going to BlizzCon. We bought that with our own money. All travel, everything. Anyway, basically, the only thing that Patreon money is used for is T-shirts, gear, and our equipment. Unfortunately, when we get our new studio, there's a lot of cost that's going to go into that to build it, to make it right, to get to the point where like we look like Good Mythical Morning. That's my like
interior decorating.
Good Mythical Morning, or what's the one that you listen to?
We're gonna go Sims on our new studio. Huh?
What's the one that you listen to?
What's Good Games?
Oh, yeah, What's Good Games?
Yeah, all female gamer podcast. By the way,
yep.
That's a shout out to them. I do listen to them ever occasionally.
And there's one more that I really like to look at. Oh, yeah, and Rooster Teeth. Like, that's the goal. That's where we want to be. And we're, like, pretty close. Like, we have a space, and we're just turning that. Anyway, everything that we've saved up is not going to be enough to turn it into what we want it to be. So Patreon, you get a T-shirt, you get shout-outs, you get... Just look at it. You can give us a dollar. You turn green on Discord. It's fucking awesome.
Yep, you get a shout-out.
I hate fucking asking for money. I'm not asking for money. I'm going to pay for whatever it is.
If you want to become a little bit of our studio, we are dedicating it to you. Without you guys, we wouldn't be a podcast.
Yeah.
We absolutely adore what we do, spending our own money on making this an actuality. And if you support what we're doing and want us to become bigger and better, little by little, we're putting it together. And we do appreciate for you for everything that you are. Without being a patron, and even as a patron, we appreciate you all the same for contributing and being a part of our community. Thank
Hex
you.
Hex has just made it weird. He said, add a hug. And I was like, for me, like, I don't know.
All right. Well, you can find us at dlgaming.net. That links to our Steam group, to our Discord, to all our social media, and all previous episodes as well. And remember, leave a review on iTunes. Get entered in that giveaway. Win Destiny 2. You're not up against too many people, so the odds, not that bad.
Yeah. So you cut it in half. So I would say you have like a one in like 35 chance, I would say. It's about, so it's not that bad.
Yep.
So don't forget to leave us that iTunes review to win your free copy of Destiny 2. Woohoo!
All right.
I'm not even going to do the thing. Motherfucking titties. Bye, everybody.